28:19. This is Gabe Gutierrez, and I am joined, as always, by Chris. Pick up your cross, West. Chris, how's it going, man?
This is good. How are you? I'm like on the edge of my seat every single week to hear the new nickname that I get.
I got to tell you, me too. '28:19, of course, as we say every week, we're an outreach of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church in Kellar, Texas. And in the show notes or the show description, you'll see all the basic links to stay in touch and connected with the parish, including Father Flynn's Twitter page handle account. Yeah. Hey, so it's been kind of a quiet week, Chris.
Yeah, except we have some fans out there, Gabe.
We do. So we need to take care of this. First of all, at the end of the last couple of podcasts, we've done a better job of saying, hey, please, if you don't mind, give us 5 stars and
like
it, right? Subscribe and leave a comment. And that if you leave a 5-star comment, right? If you give 5 stars and leave a comment, we'll be happy to give you a shout out. And so our first shout out, Chris, goes to the username Patty Jim.
Patty Jim.
Thank you so much for leaving us a review. They said, it's great to hear you guys. So fun listening to you. Love how you connect us to God, faith, fun, and the needs of our parish. And to that, I say thank you, Patty Jim. No. And you're welcome.
I just realized who this is. I think the Jim is short for, I don't know if she would want her.
Yeah, let's not say the name. That's great. Just know that we appreciate you. And if you want us to appreciate you also, please just leave us a little review and, you know, tell a friend, a family member about this podcast. Help us to grow the community here we have with 28:19. So, yeah, it's been kind of quiet in the sense that, you know, all the big news happened last week.
Right.
And now it's just a matter of living that out and working that out. Did you notice anybody or any more people at Mass this week?
So I actually went to a different parish this weekend. Ooh. Because it was Mother's Day. And so yes, we went to my parents' parish. So that was good. There weren't too many people there. But my grandmother was there as well.
Yeah.
And so it was the 5 of us. It was my parents, my grandma, and then the 2 of us. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was good. It was a nice Sunday evening on Mother's Day. We came back to our house and had steaks. So
nice.
Yeah, it was a good Mother's Day. How about you? Did y'all do anything special?
Yeah, so we went to Mass, and we definitely noticed more people than the previous week.
Yes.
So that was a good thing. And hopefully, again, more and more people are feeling comfortable and are wanting to come and be physically present. And of course, we definitely encourage you to do that.
In prudence,
right? Yes. According to your conscience, all that. Whatever disclaimer we need to say.
Right.
You know, just imagine we've said it. That being
Insert
said.
Disclaimer.
Uh-huh. That being said, come to Mass, right?
Yeah.
No, it was great. We went to Mass, and afterwards we had some dear family friends. The ones actually that came last week that I talked about, they came over for Mother's Day, and my parents came over. And, Chris, we just had this total feast. Like, our friends, they brought some food to throw on the grill. We cooked up some salmon.
Nice.
Skewers with like shrimp wrapped in bacon and some vegetables, right? We grilled that up. My parents brought over some, there's a Mediterranean restaurant nearby our house. And so they picked up like a platter of food there. So there was lamb and chicken and man, it was like, and then my daughter made this snickerdoodle cake.
Nice.
Dude, it was just a total spread.
She's going all out with these cakes, man.
I'm telling you, it's, I mean, it's, yeah, she is. She really enjoys baking, and that's awesome. And she likes baking for people.
Is it mostly desserts, or like can she do like biscuits or like calzones or like pizza and stuff like that? Or
you know, she hasn't gone the savory route yet. Okay. She's made like dinner rolls and cornbread.
Yeah.
And you know, like quick breads, like an apple bread or a banana nut bread. I can tell this is riveting, you know, to everybody. This is why you tune in to 2819, right? No, but she's done a lot. She's 10 years old, and she, you know, like we trust her with like handling the oven and, you know, the mixer and different stuff like that.
Like she started like really baking when she was like 10 or so. And like, yeah, now she's just whatever the like, you know how gardeners, like if you're really good at gardening, it's the green thumb. Whatever that thumb is for
it's a thumb that's got some flour on it.
Yeah. something like that. Golden thumb. I don't know what it is. That's what she's got because she started so young. So that's awesome, man.
It's a fun way for her to get creative. Everything that she's made has been from scratch. I mean, she started off with like the box stuff, right? But now she got I may have mentioned this. I don't remember. She got like a kid baking book, like a cookbook, but like it's a baking things. Mm-hmm. And so she's kind of working her way through that, trying different recipes out. So she really enjoys it. So she made a snickerdoodle cake. And it was great. I mean, it was just everything all together. It was like so stuffed. And we went out. We have a school in our neighborhood. So, you know, we went to the school afterwards and walked around. And the kids got to ride their bikes. And it was a beautiful day, too, man. Oh, my gosh.
Beautiful day. This weekend was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we really had a great Mother's Day. And I'm just so thankful that we can be at Mass again.
Yes.
Honestly, I'm just so thankful for that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, amen to that. Like, yeah. Thank God. And, you know, I think a good prayer is to like not take it for granted. Right. I think we're all like on the same mindset. Like we don't want to take the Eucharist for granted, but then too, like, that the virus doesn't spike so much that closings happen again. Like that should be our prayer. So we're praying with you guys. We're praying with all of our listeners to hope that doesn't happen.
So I was listening to a homily from this past weekend. And the priest that was giving this homily, he was talking about how the early Christians, they lived like, you know, in very like scary times, right? They were being persecuted. You know, every pope for the first, 300 years was a martyr.
Yeah.
You know, like this is terrible. Like it was not a good time to be a Christian, and very easily you could. Give way to panic and paranoia and fear. And the priest was saying, but what was amazing, what was remarkable about the early Christians is that they did not live that life of fear, right? That they had such faith that they were able to confront the trying reality that was before them with joy, right? With mm-hmm. love. And that, just even that witness of encountering storms of life with love and joy converted so many people, right? We read that they would see the early Christians and say, look at how they love one another and be moved by that love and say, I want some of that. Like, clearly there's something missing in my life. I want some of that. And so this priest was imploring us that we live in a trying time right now too, right? We live in a time where it's really easy to give way to panic or paranoia or fear, anxiety. But to embrace the cross and embrace our faith. And again, not to be imprudent, of course. I mean, be vigilant, right. You know. But at the same time, while you're being vigilant, be joyful, be loving. Don't let fear run your life. And I just thought that's just so beautiful for where we're at today. And of course he pulled in the example of Stephen from the first reading who goes on to become the first martyr of the early church. So I thought this what a great reflection for where we're at today.
You mentioned the first reading. One of the things that I was just thinking about, and Stephen, you know, you talked about the first, you know, popes and stuff like that being martyred. Stephen himself, right, being the, one of the first martyrs in the church, and just a beautiful example, beautiful witness, and continuing on with that theme. All of the readings yesterday, right? The gospel reading from John 14, right, was beautiful too. Just Jesus, saying to Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," right? Awesome readings all around, and is good.
It's good.
It's good.
Yeah. Amen. God is good.
God is good.
So, of course, I did love, like, you know, the readings were perfect. They go together so well. We have these first deacons that are chosen to be at the service of the church. I was listening to Father Nia's homily from the 11 o'clock mass, and he was saying that, you know, that word deacon, like the root is diakono or diakone. Mm-hmm. And so that means like to serve or service, right?
Yeah.
So that the idea is that these first men were really put to be, you know, the hands and feet of the church, to get out there and to serve and to love and to, you know, in these trying times, just like we're talking about, to be that witness of love and hope. And so how relevant that is, that and then of course, like you mentioned in the gospel, where Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? That if you see me, you see the Father. And so to come after me, right? He is the way. And so here we go, you know, we see these men, Stephen, Philip and Prochorus and the rest of these men that are chosen, go after Christ, like follow his example and serve, right? They pick up their cross and go after him and follow him, because this is the way to life.
Yeah. And they're called to be like the next disciples, right? The next followers of Christ. And reflecting on that. So in my class, it's been really weird. It's been super, weird. It's just, you know, teaching in front of a camera. I've recorded my classes and, like, you know, sent it to my students and stuff, and it's been really weird, especially this fourth quarter, this last quarter, where it's supposed to be like a cherry on top of, like, you know, the whole year has been leading up to this, and like this is the moment where we like send them out to the summer. So like my whole plan from like the beginning of the year was to kind of end on discipleship. I recorded my discipleship class, and so it was just a perfect fitting with this with the first reading, and and what discipleship is all about and stuff. And so I thought I might just give like one or two like practical applications of like what we can do as disciples.
Let's hear it, man.
Cool.
Lay it down.
So the first thing, right, is like a testimony or a witness, right? And like we all have to, in order to be a disciple, and that's like a discipleship is like a really big Catholic buzzword right now, right? And like how to form intentional disciples and how to make disciples. It's normally used in that. In that kind of voice, how to make disciples, you know. But
I hate all that, by the way. It just drives me so crazy, like the commercialization of the church, like the marketing buzzwords and the, you know, formulaic expressions, you know, like, hey everybody, do you want intentional disciples? Or, I mean, there's just so many different little buzzwords and phrases, you know, but, I mean, the thought behind it is not bad.
Right.
I just,
right.
Anyway, tell me more about discipleship, Chris.
So a testimony, I think all of us who are followers need to know or need to be able to like give witness in like 3 minutes or less, you know, need to be able to do that. Because, if we're at a restaurant, which hopefully we'll get back to, or if we, are telling, you know, our kids or telling a family member or something, we need to give a testimony. And then we also, need to be able to, sorry, my dog.
Chris,
just,
are you okay? You just fell down there. Are you all right? Did you hurt yourself?
No.
Hey, real quick.
Yeah.
When you say give a witness in 3 minutes, what are we talking about here? What do you outline that? What does that mean? What does that look like?
Yeah. Good. So, the easiest outline to do in 3 minutes is, before Jesus, Jesus after Jesus, right? So,
BC.
Yes. JC, AC.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yeah. So
before we had an encounter of Christ,
right,
what he's done for us and what life looks like now, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, tell us an example of that, Chris.
All right. So
ready? 3 minutes on the clock. Ready? Yes. Go.
Okay. So a little template of that is, so I grew up in a Catholic family, and I grew up in this area. St. Louis Van Seton was actually my home parish. And, there was a point in time in which we didn't go to Mass every weekend. And what really happened and what really like sparked my faith and our family's faith was, my dad kind of had a conversion, and we started going to this family religious education program called FIRE. And that's really where like his where our conversion as a family happened. And but the faith was never my own. It wasn't really my own. I was smaller and you know, just going with my family and stuff. But that definitely started the openness. And then in middle school, I was invited by my youth minister to go to a retreat called Youth 2000, which was a Eucharistic-centered retreat. And on Saturday night, they had a Eucharistic procession. And I had, an experience in which, like, I didn't hear Jesus audibly, but as he was coming to pass, I knew that he was saying to me, like, specifically, Chris, come follow me. Chris, come follow me. And, that whole weekend, like, things just kind of, my mind blew that, like, the God of the universe, the God who's created everything, the God who holds all of existence and being, like, one, knows my name, but two is asking me to come and follow him. So after that, I wanted more theology. Like I just wanted to dive deep into the faith. I had that choice. My parents gave me the choice, thank God, to either keep on going to public school or to go to Nolan. And I chose to go to Nolan because I wanted that like kind of theology. And back then, my formation really wasn't from Nolan. My formation was actually from high school youth ministry. And so within high school youth ministry, like I, dove in with my youth minister, Matt Gill, and then senior year, Gabe, you were my youth minister, and I was on like the leadership team, and we were leading retreats, and I just wanted nothing else but to like serve him because I realized what he had done for my life. Went to the University of Dallas to study theology, spent 6 years as a youth minister, and now I'm here as a theology teacher. So, just God has been incredible in my life, and the church has been an amazing source of life and hope and joy. It's awesome. How many minutes was
Ladies
that? Was that 4 minutes?
Ladies and gentlemen, look at that. That's how it's done. Look at that. That was like a hair over 3 minutes, not quite four.
Okay.
Maybe like three and a half. So you got to get that tighter, man. That's what matters.
Yeah, yeah. So, but the reason why we say 3 minutes, right, is because, like, if it goes a little long, that's okay. It should go shorter. So, I even said too many ums and stuff like that. There are too many pauses. So sure it up, you know, and like you can practice that and everything. So
you've clearly practiced this, right? You've clearly, had to spend some time thinking about this, think about like, what did my life look like before and how can I encapsulate that in a few words? And,
I think, don't worry
if it's not, if you don't come across like a public speaker or super polished because
right.
You know, unless you actually are a public speaker, you're not a public speaker, and it's totally fine. I think the trick is just to be you, and be as real as you can be. So don't worry about it sounding, perfect, but definitely practice a couple times, get it sharp. And yeah, it was a good job, Chris. Thank you for doing that.
Thanks. Yeah. So testimony, I think, is huge, right? Like, martyr actually, like, is Greek for witness. So I'm not saying that, like, if we give our testimony, like, we're going to die for our faith. But, like, definitely, like, social media or, like, whatever anybody says after that, that's what they say. So there's a ton of groups out there that say all these things. Focus, they are the ones that kind of did like a 3 minute kind of testimony kind of thing. But also another group is called St. Paul Street Evangelization, SPSE, and they are awesome. Steve Dawson is the founder, and I went through a training with him. And the other thing he was talking about that is extremely important is just the kerygma. Right. So one, your testimony. So the reason why he said your testimony is important is because no one can argue with your experience.
Mm.
Right. Like what I told you about when I was in eighth grade and I was at U 2000. Right. Like no one can deny that is what happened. Right. Because it's my experience. So like you can't argue with me in that now. So with St. Paul Street Evangelization, it's really, really cool. Their whole focus is not to get a person from point A to point Z, but point A to point B or L to M, wherever they're at on the scale, just get one more closer. Right. And so this, it's a group that literally goes on the street corners and, has like, pamphlets, has rosaries, they give out rosaries and stuff. And it's, a really cool group. We go to South Lake sometimes, like once a month, whenever there wasn't quarantine and stuff. And yeah, it was a really cool thing. But the Kerygma is where I'm getting at. But the Kerygma is a really beautiful thing that we all need to know as Christians, as Catholics. And what is Kerygma?
That's what I was going to say.
Yes.
Yeah, so, reading my mind.
So the Kerygma is the proclamation, right? The proclamation of the good news, okay? And it's like if I were to ask you, boil salvation history in a nutshell, you know, boil it down to like, yeah, into a bite-sized, you know, thing, not watered down, but like a bite-sized thing where, like, if you're on the street corner talking to a stranger, like, you can just, like, boom, you know, have something on your, yeah, have something in your pocket. And so Steve Dawson, he's the guy at St. Paul Street Evangelization, he has a variation of this. I've changed it a little bit, but that's what evangelization is all about. Like, you change it to you. Like, I'm not Steve Dawson, right? I'm not Jim Beckman or Eric Gallagher or Everett Fritz or whoever, like any of those people. Like, I'm me. So the basic, do you want me to run through this?
Yeah, please do.
Cool. So just a basic nutshell of the Kerygma, of the proclamation of the gospel, is 4 points. So it's good news, bad news, good news, great news. Obviously, there's more to that. That, like, if you're on the street with somebody and you're like, okay, let me tell you the Kerygma. Good news, bad news, good news, great news. Like, that doesn't help. But that's the easiest way for me to remember
it works. Okay. All right. So what's the good news?
The first good news is that you are a unique and unrepeatable expression of the Father's love. Right. The first paragraph of the catechism, like the first sentence of the catechism of the Catholic Church.
It's my favorite article in the entire catechism.
Dude,
it's like a love note.
One of my favorite sentences, if not my favorite sentence of the whole catechism, is the first sentence. God, infinitely perfect and blessed in himself, in a plan of sheer goodness, freely created man to make him share in his own blessed life. And one thing that, like, I like to tell my students is, instead of man, say your name, right? So in a plan of sheer goodness, freely created Chris, freely created Gabe, to make him share in his own blessed life, right? Like, that's good news, right? That you are a unique and unrepeatable expression of the Father's love, that you are created by the God of the universe. So first good news, boom.
Boom.
Bad news.
Oh, it's always bad news, right? What's the bad news?
The bad news, right, is we've screwed that up, right? Like, we sin and we throw that in the face of God every time we commit sin. Obviously, there's, like, you know, different kinds of sins and stuff like that. But especially from the fall all the way to now, we have this thing in which we fall into temptation, right? We have concupiscence, in which we have this inclination to sin. But, and one of the consequences of that is, yeah, death, right? But it doesn't stop there, right? There's a good news, your unique and unrepeatable expression of Father's love. Bad news is, we've messed that up, right? Like, I've sinned, you've sinned, we've messed it up. But the good news, right, is this euangelion, right, this gospel. The good news is that Jesus Christ, right, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, came to die for you and for me, right? He came to die, his paschal mystery, in which his passion, death, and resurrection won for you salvation and redemption for your soul, so that you could be in eternity with God, right? That's the good news, right? That God would have rather died than spend eternity without you, right? That's that second good news. That's the good news that we're not stuck in the sin. And it's not that we don't just, like, come out even on this deal. We come out, like, with an eternity of happiness and joy and love with our eternal Father. So
that's the great news.
So that's the good news.
Good news, bad news, good news, and then here,
right.
Here's the great
news. Now okay. Here's the great news.
Okay, laid on.
The great news is that Jesus, while he was here on earth, established a church. He established a church in which was the instrument of grace, and he commissioned the disciples to go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? 28:19.
I thought that sounded familiar.
Yeah. And so the great news, right, is that we have an opportunity today to unite ourselves with the God who created us, and but also the God who died for us. Right within the sacraments, we have an opportunity to be in communion, like literal communion, with the God of the universe here on earth. And so the second part of this great news is that it's your choice, right? Just as God freely created man to make him share in his own blessed life, God gives us the free will, the free choice to choose whether or not to choose a life of him and with him and a freedom, or a life of slavery to sin, slavery to temptation, a life of destruction, right? So, that's the great news, is that God doesn't make us choose him. He allows us to love him.
So I'm digesting, you know, what you've been saying. And so we've got, just to recap it, we've got good news, bad news, good news, great news, and just bullet points here. Good news, God, the King of the universe, right, the creator of heaven and earth, loves you so much that he created you and wants to share his divine life with you. That's good news.
Yep.
Bad news? We screw that up sometimes, right? When we fall with the sin, yep. Right? Starting with Adam and Eve, and then flowing from that into, you know, the struggles that we have day to day. You know, the things, you know, when you do the act of contrition, it's in choosing to do wrong and failing to do good. So all those yep. types of instances, right? Yep. That's the bad news, is that we say, here's what I think of your divine life, God, right?
Yeah.
And not so many words.
Yep.
And that's terrible. Like, that's not just bad news, that's downright awful news.
Yes.
the good news from that, though, is that God says, you don't have to stay there, and I'm going to save you. You've fallen captive to the snares of sin and death, and so I'm going to send my son to help you break free from those chains. Right, to bear that burden for you so that you can be liberated. There's a priest I really like to listen to. His name is Father John Ricardo out of the Archdiocese of Detroit. He likes to compare this to D-Day, right? The World War II, the invasion of Normandy, that here we go, we're going to free you. And imagine, you know, being someone captive, you know, by the Nazi regime, and then to hear that this invasion happened in France, and that, you know, the Americans are coming, the soldiers are coming. You just, you know, that there's people from all around the world coming to save you and to free you from this oppression. Like, it's not just good news. It's fantastic news.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So that's what Jesus does for us, is that he frees us.
Yep.
And somehow there's even better news, which is what you're saying is the great news.
Well,
in some ways.
In some ways, and really, like, you know, the reason why I call them that are really because it's easier for me to remember, right? Like, it's easier, mm-hmm. it's easy for me to, like, spit that out. But you're right. Like, the bad news is awful and terrible news, right? And the great news about the great news, right, is that it is yeah, our choice. So I'll let you keep on going, and then yeah.
Yeah, no, just to finish the little recap, just to make sure that I'm with you, right?
Yeah.
The great news, and in some ways it's as good, and in some ways even better than the already great news that we just talked about, is that Jesus says, I will not leave you orphans.
Right.
Like, we're not going to be left alone. Like, it's not like Jesus came and saved us and he's like, okay, now you're on your own. And we see that, like, in the history of the church, like in the Old Testament, we see, you know, the Israelites, they fall into sin, they are liberated, and then they live a life of faith for so long, and then ultimately fall again. And then they get liberated, and then they live a life of faith, and then they fall again. And their story is our story. Like, that's what we do, right?
Right.
But we're not left alone. We're not like freed and then abandoned.
Matthew 28:20, right? Is, behold, I am with you always to the close of the age, to the end of the age, right? Like, those are the literal last words of Matthew's gospel, right? I am with you till the end of the age. So,
Matthew 28:20. He sends the paraclete, the advocate, to be with us, to guide us. And then in a particular way, through the church that he has instituted, he has made it so that he can be with all of us everywhere, right? That Christ is fully present in the church, in the sacraments, and in a particular way in the Eucharist. And the fact that he can be everywhere at once through his church, through the sacraments, that he's chosen to work that way so that we're not alone, so that we can have him there with us physically, and that we can lean on him and grab his hand when we fall down to get back up again through things like the sacrament of confession and whatnot. Like, that's fantastic news. That's amazing news that he gives us. It's not forced. Like you said, it's our choice, but all the resources and all the tools, everything is there for us.
Yes.
It's just up to us to say yes.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I think that's right. Like, we have an opportunity to have heaven on earth, right? Through the sacraments, through the church, right? Like, we don't have to wait for heaven to have like a glimpse of it, right? Like, we can have that at Mass. And of course, obviously, yes, like, it will be eternally more great in heaven, God willing, you know, that we make it there, but we can have, we can live a life of holiness, and we can live a life of sanctity, in which we are, in the presence of God.
And the thing about the kerygma, when you really wrap your head around this and realize what has happened and how this has worked and what God has done for you, is that you begin to see other people who are captive as well. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, it demands a response, right? When you see someone who is struggling, you should be moved with compassion to help, to serve, to love one another as he has loved us, right? And so this is why that you know, making those choices every day, picking up that cross, following Jesus, dying to yourself, having that being a witness, right, a martyr, like you were talking about,
yeah,
you know, like, there is a death. It's not necessarily a physical death,
right,
but there is a death to our own selfish wants or our own selfish desires. Like, we have to stop and get out of our way so that we can be present to those around us, and in doing so, God also then gives us opportunities to share this beautiful message of salvation in the kerygma with those around us, those that we're serving. And oftentimes, it's your own family, it's your coworkers, it's your friends. And so, just to circle back to what you started with, this is another reason why it's so beneficial to have, you know, a reflection, a 3-minute testimony in your pocket, in your back pocket, that you can pull out when someone asks you, hey, you know, why are you like that? Why are you helping me? You know, why are you so happy? I'll never forget. When I was in college, I lived in the fraternity house. I was president of the fraternity, and I always went to Mass. The faith wasn't personally my own yet, but I knew that I needed to keep going to church. Praise God. And I did. And I'll never forget this, Chris. There was one guy one time who came up to me and said, "Gabe, I want to go to church with you." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And he was like, "Yeah, you're just so happy. You're like happy all the time. And like, I want to be happy. And so I'm going to go to church." I'm like, "Okay, that's cool. Great." And I wasn't formed enough yet to be able to share anything more than, "Oh, that's great." And I look back on that, and that's, you know, I'm thankful, and that person is active in their faith now and God has done amazing things. That's fantastic. But like, I look like, that's why you want to have the testimony, right? For times right. just like that, because you never know when it's going to pop up.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. Like you need it in your back pocket. And yeah, I can't tell you how many times I had been caught off guard. Right. Like even as a youth minister or something, you know, like on a plane or something like that. Like, what do you do? These are easy things that we can do, easy things that we can have. And even more again. Right. Like the apologetic stuff is awesome. Right. Like the Trent Horns of the world and like, you know, Patrick Coffins of the world. Like they're awesome. They're freaking phenomenal. But if you're meeting somebody on a plane, right, like, again, your experience is what means it matters more than if you can rattle off whatever it is, right? Like, but if you could say the kerygma, right, and if you can have the church within it and the doctrine of the church and the beauty of the church, that's awesome. Like that's what you need. And then if you could do a testimony, it's beautiful. It's awesome.
And here's the trick though. And it's not really a trick, but here's the trick, okay? Here's what makes this effective is that it has to be sincere. Like mm-hmm. it has to be authentic. It has to be mm-hmm. real. Like when you talk about what God has done in your life, what meeting Christ has done for you. Mm-hmm. You have to know what that is. Like Christ has to, you have to have met him.
Yeah.
You have to have a relationship with him and you have to have spent some time in reflection and prayer and really looking back to see like, you know, God, what have you done in my life? And how have I, you know, let me look back at my life with eyes of faith to see how you've been with me and see how you've moved me from one right. place to the next place.
And a conversion doesn't have to be like a St. Paul, right? Like a
extreme conversion kind of thing. Faith makeover no, thing.
Like,
yeah.
But I challenge and encourage everyone, right, to think of the moment. Like, because there was a moment. There was a time when you weren't.
Or like, a series of moments, maybe.
A series of moments. Yeah. But even like. I guess, yeah, like time frame or something where like there was a conscious effort in you to say yes, yeah, I'm gonna follow this. I'm making the faith my own, you know? And there was something like that for all of us.
And why this is so relevant to where we're at right now is that, you know, we've been in this shelter in place quarantine mode for the last, you know, a couple months now, almost a month and a yep. half, 2 months. And slowly we're starting different places across the country, across the world are starting to open back up. They either just did, or they're about to start opening up masses in Italy again, which is, you know, huge, massive. Right. Of course, here in the diocese, we've already articulated this, that Mass has just started opening back up. And in addition to Mass, you know, other places of business are starting to open their doors again. And there's a new normal. There's new regulations to try and keep everybody safe. But the bottom line is that we're starting to you know, come out of the upper room, so to speak, you know, for this place of hiding, this place of fear. And we're starting to go back out into the world. And in doing so, we will come up against one another. We will interact with each other. And so the big question is, you know, how are we to respond? How are we to interact with each other? And ultimately, it's out of love, right?
Yeah.
And it's out of the demands that the faith is putting on you as a response to the love that Christ has for you, that the Father has for you. It's our response to that love letter, that first paragraph that you read from the Catechism, that piece, you know, that's God's message of love to us. And it's like when you receive a love note, you know, it would be weird if you totally ignored that, you know, it demands a response, and our response is to not just love God back, though that's the first part of the response, but it's also to love others. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, not to have this place of fear and panic, like we talked about at the beginning, but to greet each other, to meet each other, to be a good martyr, a witness of the love that God has for us. So spend some time in prayer and really ask God to show you, you know, ask the Spirit to move you and help you to see how He's worked in your life. And honestly, if you feel like I'm not really sure, you know, it's never too late to start that and say, like, God, you know, please work more in my life. You know, help me to see where you are. Help me to see how to respond. Help me to follow you more.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
And honestly, when you start doing this more and more, it's like a muscle almost, mm-hmm. you know, that you're growing, that you're strengthening, that you're developing, you know, it's like a finely tuned precision, you know, race car almost, you know, like a Formula One thing where it is extremely powerful. And at the same time, when the slightest thing goes wrong, it's immediately noticeable, right? I was talking to my wife and I at work today, I was walking outside of our building. And there was a guy that walked up and he, you know, he looked a little sketch. And he was asking if there was a place that he could charge his phone. And I was like, I don't know if I should, you know, let him into our building or not. And I ultimately directed him to go across the street to the grocery store or whatever, you know. But afterwards, I was like, that was a chance that I could have loved, that I could have served. Mm. Honestly, I could have. And I just didn't. And I can't tell you, like, how sick that made me, just realizing that God gave me a chance to love someone. And who knows what would have happened in just the brief little interaction to, like, let somebody charge their phone. Maybe I would have had the chance to share, you never know, like share my testimony or to share the kerygma, or at the very least do it in the way that I'm living my life. Like, here I am walking around with a crucifix around my neck. Mm-hmm. And instead of, you know, doing something so very minor, I totally just, like, avoided doing anything. And in the past, something like that, I would not have thought, like, I would not have had a second thought about it, you know. But there's something about this faith forming your conscience, growing in a relationship with God, that He just doesn't leave you alone, you know. Like,
yeah,
he calls us to love and serve. And even when we mess up, like, He helps to convict us to realize, like, oh, I'm sorry. And we get back up and we try and go again. We try and love and serve again.
Yeah. Amen. And, God does not lack an opportunity, right? He does not lack an opportunity to love, to show joy, to anything like that. So
yeah, thankfully.
Yeah,
because exactly. I need it.
Because I need more opportunities. Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you, Chris. Thank you for sharing that with us. The testimony.
I actually shared this with some of my students, so they're going to be hearing this twice this week if they listen.
If they listen, right?
Yeah.
If they're included in our tens of listeners.
Exactly.
So, dear faithful listeners, thank you so much for listening to us every week. We really appreciate you and value your feedback, your support. And you know, if you could please, as we said on the front end, just do us a favor and hit 5 stars on whatever listening platform you're listening to. That just helps others to find our show more easily when they're looking stuff up, like Catholic stuff or Catholic, you know, different topics. And then if you could leave a review, that also, you know, the way the algorithms work, that just helps people to be able to find our podcast more easily. So that would be really, really appreciated. And of course, we're happy to, like we did with Patty Jim earlier, we'd be happy to give you a shout out and a word of thanks and appreciation. And as always, you can visit us on 2819.fireside.fm. And until next time, go out and glorify the Lord by the way you live your life.
Thanks be to God.
Love you. Bye, guys.
Love you. Bye.
While we're in a quarantine, Chris and Gabe. Learning about the Catholic faith, Chris and Gabe. Having so much fun.